And now it's time for The Last Call with Pastor Marty Nutter of Faith Lutheran Church in Tullahoma.
This morning's text is our gospel lesson for today from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, this entire section. And you'll recall how last week Jesus joined his disciples after the feeding of the 5,000. And after his time of solitude and prayer, Jesus joined his disciples, walking on the Sea of Galilee during the fourth watch of the night and telling his disciples, "Do not be afraid." And after Jesus joined his disciples in that boat, they made their way to the village of Gennesaret. Gennesaret, located on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. Gennesaret has often been called the Paradise of Galilee because of its fertile soil and its beauty, and because from there you overlook the Sea of Galilee. Today's gospel lesson begins telling us that Jesus and his disciples are now leaving that area to make their way to two very important cities, Tyre and Sidon, located some 35 miles away along the Mediterranean coast. Tyre and Sidon, two very important trade cities along the Mediterranean Sea, were pagan. The entire area was given over to paganism. And these two Gentile cities had been heavily influenced by Greek culture, as seen in their coinage of money and their architecture. Each city was also a proud center of Canaanite paganism, with tombs to ancient kings and temples to various gods and goddesses. And that's what Jesus would have seen in this region of Tyre and Sidon. And earlier in this gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus began to denounce several cities in which most of his miracles had been performed. Why? Because they did not repent. Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that if it will be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Now, while Jesus and his disciples were in this area of Tyre and Sidon, a Canaanite woman came to Jesus crying out to him, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." And the scriptures tell us Jesus did not answer her a word. Now, Matthew makes a point to his Jewish audience that this woman was a Canaanite woman. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't a true child of Israel. She was a foreigner, a Gentile. And yet this woman cries out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." An evil spirit had gripped her daughter and had control of her daughter. Now, demon possession is very real, and it's referred to many times in the Bible. Demon possession, where the forces of Satan and evil are mighty at work in the hearts and lives of people. And I believe that such demon possession is just as real and as rampant today throughout the world as it was at the time of Jesus. Now, we might not call it demon possession. We've given it different terms, but that's what it is. Mental illness is one such term. Now, that's not to say that everyone suffering from mental illness is demon possessed, not at all. But there are those who are. This Canaanite woman comes to Jesus on behalf of her daughter. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." And the Bible tells us Jesus did not answer her a word. Now, that's a little strange. There's not many times in the Bible where Jesus is silent, but this is one of them. And this might strike us odd at first, especially when we think of our Lord and his great love and compassion towards people. There's never been the tendency to try and explain this away as though Jesus never heard the woman in the first place or something like that. No, Jesus heard her request. In fact, Jesus knew her request even before she verbalized it. Jesus just did not answer her a word. And the scriptures go on to say in this same verse, even the disciples came to Jesus, urging him to send this woman away, for she keeps crying out after us. Perhaps the disciples wanted her gone because they knew she was not a true child of Israel. She was a foreigner. In any event, Jesus finally speaks, and that's precisely the point in this statement that he makes. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, that's not to say that Jesus was not also sent to the lost sheep of every tribe and every people, but initially, in our Lord's ministry, Israel was his primary mission field. As Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, his primary focus initially was on Israel. And that's the whole reason we read such things from the Apostle Paul to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You'll recall how Simon Peter struggled in this whole area of going beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. We have Peter's vision in Acts chapter 10, how Peter had gone up on his roof to pray, and he became hungry. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being lit down to earth by four corners. And it contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back up into heaven. And while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, men sent from Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, had come to Peter. And they said to Peter, a holy angel told Cornelius to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. And the Bible tells us that Peter went with these men the next day to the house of Cornelius. And when Peter got there, Peter said, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. God had used Simon Peter to lead Cornelius to faith in Jesus Christ, so that later Simon Peter would say, I now realize just how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. The Apostle Paul, known as the Apostle to the Gentiles, who was himself a Jew, a Christian Jew, went to his own people, to the Jews first. And Paul devoted himself to preaching and testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, and the Jews constantly opposed Paul and became abusive towards him. So much so that Paul shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I am clear of that responsibility. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. Yet initially, before the Apostle Paul, during Jesus' ministry, the primary focus was the children of Israel. And we see that even here in this text this morning, as Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Initially, that was the focus. And the woman came to Jesus and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. And Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Now, in a very real sense, Israel is God's chosen people. Israel, the children of God. And children get the food first. So what Jesus is saying here is this. It's not right to take what, first of all, was intended to be given to God's chosen people, the children of Israel, and begin by giving it to foreigners or to dogs, as Jesus says in this comparison. The Greek says little dogs, like a pet in the home. And Jesus' point was that the gospel was to be given first to the Jews. And the woman obviously understood Jesus' implication here, and she was willing to settle for crumbs. She knows she's a foreigner. She knows she's a Gentile. She's willing to recognize that Jesus' mission was first and foremost to the children of Israel. And yet, in faith, in boldness, she is quick to respond, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs, even foreigners eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even foreigners or dogs are fed only by the master." And Jesus, upon hearing the words of this woman, her deep testimony of faith, says to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. The Canaanite woman, this foreigner, might well recognize that Jesus' primary mission was to the children of Israel. Be that as it may, yet she also recognized Jesus as a Son of God and the Savior of the world, and the one, the only one. And so she comes boldly before him with her request. She comes boldly before him in faith, in him, with her request. And Jesus, seeing her heart, seeing living faith within her, grants her her request. "Request granted," says Jesus. "Request granted," says the Word of God. "You have not because you ask not." There's so much to learn from this Canaanite woman, to be persistent, to be bold in our requests. And there's even more to learn from Jesus. We learn that Jesus has mercy on all people who look to him. He invites each one of us to bring all of our requests to him, and he has promised that he will hear us and answer us. Philippians chapter 4, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." May God's Spirit give us boldness and persistence in making our requests, all of them, known to him in faith. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Oh, alleluia, 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 alleluia.
This may well be your last call to ever hear and respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2.